Let's all get up again. Say hello to one another. You know? I don't care. This is cool. It's better than one of those churches where you walk in and everybody's so pious. They look like they're baptized in pickle juice and nobody smiles and nobody hugs. You know? You guys hug? I'd rather hug than slug anytime, you know? So we're commanded to love one another. So, okay, just a couple of announcements. The daily breads are in. We have extras. You want to give one to somebody at work, neighbor, whatever. They're great little devotionals for your daily time with the Lord. Also, the Calvary Magazine is in. Tornado survivors. Comfort for those that, gosh, there's just some great articles in here. I'd encourage you to read the Calvary Magazine right back there. It's free. What else do we have? You guys know all about the home fellowships, right? And the women's retreat coming up and the men's retreat coming up and all of that. We've got something that's kind of heading up our priorities here at Calvary Chapel Palm Desert. And, well, I would have to believe it's a top priority in every Bible-believing, born-again, Spirit-filled church in California because it has to do with SB 48. We now have a table back there with petitions to sign. And let me just read what our little flyer says here. Parents, grandparents, take notice. A new sexual indoctrination law, SB 48, impacting all children in public schools, mandates that kids be taught to admire lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. This new indoctrination starts in January, and there is no parental consent. We've also got flyers back there with all of the things that, you know, what really irritates me is that one of the facts about this bill is that they inappropriately, check this out, they classify lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals as a culture or ethnic group like African American, Native American, Mexican American, Pacific Islander, Asian American, European American. You know what? If I was a minority, I would be ripped about that. We have no choice when it comes to the way God made us, color of our skin, color of our hair, eyes, all that stuff. But sexual perversion is a choice. And where is Jesse Jackson on this one? You know? And where are all these people that are supposed reverends and all that are, you know, standing up for people's rights? It really gets me angry as a pastor when they stand up for wrongs. And this is wrong. When did you guys vote to put this thing into action? As before, anybody vote on that? Not one of us did. When did any of us vote to put evolution? When did we boot Jesus out and put Darwin in? Did you vote on that one too? Look what it says behind me. The Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verse 2. I saw a couple of things on the news again. How close are we? Do you kind of sense something is just about ready to happen? When the White House is shaking? Hello back there. And a hurricane is headed their way. Hello back there. In Colorado, an earthquake. Peru had a 7-pointer today. Last night, I'm watching TV with Tina, and down in Florida, they are now instituting infrared scanners for the students to get their lunch. They put their hand on a scanner, and it's got all their information for their lunch, for everything about them. Palm Desert High School, every child in Palm Desert High School this year has to wear a badge with a scanning code number on it. You know where that's headed, right? The mark of the beast. And we won't get to vote on that either, folks. And earthquakes in diverse places, hurricanes, all this stuff going on. God may not be as close to judging the world as he is to judging America. And that concerns me. And I'm not up here to, you know, try to put fear in your heart. Because we have fear in our heart. The beginning of the wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. And we know what the Bible says about these things. And you see what they're trying to do? They're trying to remove every bit of literature from the United States of America with our roots in Christianity, Jesus Christ. And they're getting rid of all of our history books. They're changing it. And I'll tell you what, their biggest target is this book. This is the next one. And one day it will be against the law for you and I to carry the Word of God. And that's where they're headed. So I would hope that this would cause you to have righteous indignation. And so we have petitions over there. Guess what we have to do? We have to get 500,000 signatures so that we can get rid of SB 48 that we never even voted in anyway. And so if 5,000 churches can get, 1,000 signatures in California, I hope it happens, I really do. Otherwise, we are in major, 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 major trouble. I'm concerned about my children, my grandchildren, possibly my great-grandchildren. They're being indoctrinated with perversion, and we're paying our tax money for them to do it. And we've got perverts all over Washington. Barney Franks, why is he still in office? You know, he got busted years ago for a male prostitution ring in Washington, D.C., and the guys, they still vote him back in. And I would pray that the man would get saved. He can get saved. Matter of fact, the son of Sam was in the paper today. Did you read the paper where son of Sam does not want to come up for parole? He's the serial killer from years ago. He doesn't want to come up for parole because he's born again. He's doing his time. He loves Jesus Christ. And Greg Laurie's ministry led him to the Lord about 20 years ago. So can anybody else be saved? Absolutely. You know, and it's God's will that all would be saved and that none would perish. But we need to stand up, folks. How did it ever get this bad? So, okay, moving right along. We'll get into the Psalms. I don't know how many I'm going to get into tonight, but I received great comfort in the Psalms today, and a lot of them have to do with praising and worshiping the Lord. And so we're going to go, and we might even beat Roman through Revelation tonight. We might finish the Psalms here. Are you done yet? Oh, man, okay. Lord willing, if we get through all the Psalms, a lot of them just minister to your heart. They give us comfort. We know that God is our rock, no matter what comes our way, hurricanes, earthquakes, God is our rock. And so a lot of these will minister to our soul tonight. And Psalms are like that. The last five Psalms are the Hallel Psalms. They're Psalms of praise to the Lord. So I think if there's ever a time in the church we really need to praise the Lord and allow His Spirit to minister to us, we'll let Him do that to us tonight. So if we get through the Psalms, then next week, read ahead. The book of Ecclesiastes, we are going to have a great time in that book. It's a book of Solomon, and it is a wonderful one. I know, I say that about every book. But, it's another one of the 66 greatest books on the planet. Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You that we have the truth. We are holding the truth in the palm of our hands. And thank You that Your Word is truth, that You are the same yesterday, today, forever. You never change. Thank You that our feet are on the rock. You told us, Lord, that the storms would come and the winds would blow. And Father, there are clouds on the horizon. And we just sense that there's a major storm coming. We do pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders that they would fall upon their face and fall upon the mercy of God and repent of their sins, Lord. And just 2-3 weeks ago, we read in red letters what You think of perverting the minds of our kids. Lord Jesus, You said that if anyone would cause any of these little ones of Yours to stumble, it would be better that they put a millstone around their neck and cast themselves in the deepest part of the sea. And Lord, I pray that You would have mercy upon us, that we would get enough signatures to stop this madness. I know this is not our home, but we're to occupy till You come. And we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who would believe, to the Jew first and to the Gentiles. And so, Lord, just get us fired up for You. Just fill us with Your Spirit tonight, with Your promises, these wonderful promises that we see. And also, Lord, just teach us more about worshiping and praising You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your love. And so tonight, Lord, just speak to us through Your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot to ask if anybody needed a Bible, so if you need one. Okay, let's go. Psalm 144. Tonight we'll see the last two Psalms of David. Psalm 144, Psalm 145. It's a song to the Lord who preserves and prospers His people. A Psalm of David. David knew all about preservation, didn't he? Even as a young man, how God protected him as he was a shepherd out in the wilderness from the lion, from the bear that he killed. God protected him from Goliath, a bunch of grown men, the Israeli army standing across a great big valley from the Philistines were shaking in their sandals. But yet this one little ruddy-haired, freckled-faced shepherd boy takes a sling and takes down a giant. And David knew all about God's preservation. And you know what? His preservation is still the same here tonight. God is going to get you and I through. All the things that we see in this country going on, God is still going to preserve those who love Him. We don't have to be intimidated. The gates of hell shall not prevail. God is the one that will preserve us. Even in the first verse, David says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock." And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, your feet are on the rock. And I'm not talking about Prudential. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. He will preserve us. He will see us to the end. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Some people have a hard time with that. You mean God trains our hands for war and fingers for battle? Absolutely. God wants His people to defend themselves. And all through history, we see that God has given His people the ability to defend themselves. And He's always given them victory over the enemy when they will stand behind Him, the rock of our salvation. Notice, He's not only my rock, and we can say that, who trains our hands for war and fingers for battle, but He's my loving kindness, David says, and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Boy, there's a whole bunch of things there that we can get excited about. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear because faith and fear can't dwell in the same place. And if we're spending time in God's Word and on our knees in prayer and reading God's Word and holding on to His wonderful promise, fear is going to flee and faith is going to take hold in our hearts, and we're going to be able to endure whatever the enemy tries to throw at us because He is our loving kindness. And my fortress, and my high tower, and my deliverer, and my shield, and the one in whom I take my refuge. He's all of those things. You see, we look at the nature and the character of God, even from centuries ago, and He's the same. He can't change. He's always the same. Man tries to change God. Man tries to change His Word. You know, God made us in His image, and now man is trying to return the favor, trying to make God in our image. God was not created in our image. We are to be created in the image of God. Verse 3, I love this. This is pretty heavy, isn't it? Look what he says. "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him?" You ever stop and wonder why? I mean, in comparison to the rest of the universe, we're just but specks of dust. And even with all that's going on, we're talking about this today, with all that's going on and how man shakes his fist at God even today and does all these perverted things to these little children that God creates and all that's going on in the world, God could just take us as dust and go and just blow us right off into eternity. But instead, notice, He's mindful of us. You ever stop and think how vast God is? We're just this dinky, tiny little speck of a planet. And there are galaxies with billions of stars in them that are bigger than this planet, like a million times bigger. But yet God is mindful of us. And oftentimes, I'm sure you feel the same way as a Christian. And you know, we struggle. Every one of us struggles. We blow it every day. I wonder, why, Lord? Why do you love me? Why did you do this for me? I can't figure it out. The Lord, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? And how does he take knowledge of us? He knows everything about us. He created us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our steps. He knows the number of our days. He knows every breath, every beat of our heart. He doesn't miss anything with you and I. He adores you. And you wonder, why? Why are you mindful of us, Lord? Why? Because David says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing of a shadow. It's so true, isn't it? I remember when we talked about this the last time, the breath or the vapor. Those of you that drink coffee or tea, whatever your hot beverage is in the morning, when you're sitting there with your Bible open tomorrow and you see your hot beverage with the vapor coming off of it, just think of life as being that. It is. It's a vapor. It comes and it disappears, doesn't it? And that's what life is. And David knew that. Man is like a breath, just a puff. His days are like a passing shadow. You ever try to step on another kid's shadow and your kid just, you're playing shadow tag, you know? some of us before, you know, Xbox and all that stuff. We used to actually go out and play. We'd go out and play, you know. Little things like kick the can and I can go seek and try and just step on somebody's shadow. And we are just like passing shadows. Look at this. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. He has come down. He has come down from heaven, born of a virgin, born in poverty, born in a stinky old stable. And he came for you and he came for me. But he's also going to come again, Scripture tells us. And David knew that. He's going to come down. He's going to touch the mountains and they shall smoke one day. Yes, there will be global warming, my friends, big time. But the good news is we won't be here. This is all the global warming you and I will get. 118 degrees, big deal. I always tell people, you know what, this is the hottest it's going to get for me, my friend. Because I'm headed for a perfect environment one day. I hope that Al Gore repents, otherwise he's going to see global warming big time. I would tell that to him face. Have him call me, I'll tell it to his face. Flash forth lightning and scatter them and shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Again, David uses these physical things as examples of God's nature and character and power. And David knew that. Look at the wisdom that he had. You know, this is 2,750 years ago he's writing these things. And look at the grasp he had on the nature and the character of God. He didn't have all 66 books like we do. I'll tell you what, if we really truly dig deep into the Word of God, we can truly grasp the nature and the character and the power and the magnificence of God. Can you dig it? Dig into the Word. Don't dig into your past. The world wants you to dig into your past. The Lord says, dig into my Word. Can you dig it? We need to get God's Word into our hearts. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters from the hands of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Gosh, David was dealing with the same things we deal with today. The enemy, you know? The enemy coming against us. But doesn't God always rescue us and deliver us out of great waters? I'll bet every one of us has a God story, even maybe before you got saved. How there was that one time, may have been an accident, may have been a disease, may have been something that you thought, this is it. And here you sit today. God has delivered you. He's rescued you. If He did it then and He's doing it now, He's going to do it through all eternity. Jesus to the rescue. How glorious is that? David dealt with foreigners. All the tights, the Amalekites and the stalagmites and the stalactites and the uptites and all of those guys. He had the Philistines and all that. He had foreign enemies. And the term foreigner here doesn't mean people from another country. It means heathens. It means pagans. And we're dealing with heathens and pagans today, aren't we? And look what they're trying to do. They're trying to brainwash our kids. They're bringing ungodly religion into our nation. It's one thing to have freedom and open up your nation to people to come and be able to earn a living and to live in a beautiful place. But don't bring your pagan gods in here. It's like a Roman horse that's come in the middle of our nation, and all of a sudden everything and anything goes. You try to do anything for Jesus Christ today and they hold their arm up. They stiff arm you. But you can build a mosque just about anywhere in the country today with a false religion, foreign gods, a religion that in their book, the Quran, says that they are going to annihilate every Jew and every Christian on the planet. They call us the infidel. This is serious stuff. And this all-inclusiveness stuff and this political correctness is bogus, my friend. This book is not politically correct. It's yea and amen. It's the Word of God. It's given by the inspiration of God. This is His Word. Thus saith the Lord. But look what David says. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. I bet David had a bunch of new songs. We only have a few of them recorded here. David was not only a great king and a prophet and a mighty warrior. He was a great songwriter, too. Lots of songs. He'd probably sing a few for us when we get to heaven. I'm sure he might lead the choir a few times for us all as we sing to the Lord throughout eternity. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. He was quite a musician as well. I bet he could really play that thing. And again, what a glorious day it's going to be to see Jesus face to face and see David face to face and be able to talk with David. I'm sure he'll be playing 10 strings in heaven and sing praises to the Lord. And none of us will complain about our voices in heaven. Everybody will have good voices there. Isn't that great? The one who gives salvation to kings. See, David was a king. And David was grateful for his salvation. David had a lot to be grateful for. We know the dark side of David's life, right? We don't have to go into the details. The whole world knows about David and Bathsheba. But he knows. He's assured in verse 10 of his salvation. He lives his salvation. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. And David knew that the only reason he was victorious in battle was because God was his deliverer. God kept him from dying on the battlefield. God had a plan for him. God has a plan for you and I. We may not be on a physical battlefield yet, but we are on a spiritual battlefield. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers in heavenly places. It's demonic stuff that's going on. All the stuff that we see is backed by demonic spirits. But God is the one who gives salvation to kings, delivers David, his servant. Notice David's reference to himself. He didn't say, God delivered me, the king. No, he says, God delivers kings. But David makes reference to himself in humility as a servant. How do you like that? And David had all the accolades. Well, I'm a songwriter. He could have said, I'm a king and I'm a prophet and all this. He didn't. He said, I'm a servant. And the closer we get to God, the more humility grips our life. The way up is down, my friend. And oftentimes, have you noticed, oftentimes, you know, the closer you get to God, it's like the less spiritual we feel. That's the way it should be, because God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. And David knew that. And David knew that his job description was a servant. Same for you and I. Isn't it cool that you and I are called servants of the Most High? What a privilege it is to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you know, we'll be serving right alongside David and right alongside Solomon, right alongside Moses and Abraham and all those men that were saved by faith. So what a blessing it is. What a privilege it is. You see, in the world here today, to be called a servant is like you're low class, dude. But you know what? To be a servant in the house of the King, there's no greater joy. There's no greater privilege. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners. Again, he's speaking of the pagans, the heathens, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Look at the lies today. Look at the lies that we have to deal with. And again, that's why, folks, we have to stay anchored in the Word of God. Because as the world drifts and gets further out here, the church for centuries has always tried to stay right in the middle. And so as it's getting darker and darker and further away from the truth, so is the church drifting as well. And if we don't keep anchored in the Word of the Lord, we're going to drift. And all of a sudden, some of these things are going to, well, you'll start thinking in your mind, well, yeah, maybe that's true. No, you need to know absolutely, positively whether something is true. And the way that you find the truth is in the Word of God, because Jesus said, my word is truth. Any questions on that one? My word is truth. We have the truth. We should rejoice in that. We don't have to tamper with it. We don't have to change it. We got the truth. It was the truth. It is the truth. It always will be the truth forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. We've got the truth. Love this book. Cherish this book. Hide it in your heart. This is the anchor of our soul, folks. The world is filled with lies out there. You know what they do? They tell you it's the truth. When someone has to tell you in a statement, well, I'm telling you the truth, I become skeptical. Why? Because I always tell the truth. At least most of the time. I always tell the truth when I'm standing up here, that's for sure. But you know how the Holy Spirit convicts us? We tell the truth, don't we? We don't have to use a disclaimer. Well, Randy, I'm telling you the truth, man. You don't have to say that. Because I know you guys and you know me. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we know that we're going to be truthful with one another. And this is the truth. And look what it does. The truth that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That's what the truth does. Do you think the lies that we're pouring into our public schools is going to cause our sons to be as plants that will grow up in their youth? Absolutely not. It's going to hinder their growth. And we need to fill our kids full of the Word and the things of God at home. You parents, you need to give your kids the Word of God. And they need to see the Word of God in you. It's not just, let's go to church on Sunday and I'll drop you off and I'll pick you up later. They need to see Jesus Christ in your life. My dad always said, don't do as I do as I say. But you know what? I did as my dad did. We weren't Christians. You know, when we as dads and grandfathers, uncles, whatever kids you're around, your nieces, nephews, what they should see Jesus Christ in you. And they'll remember one day, you know what? I remember Jesus and Uncle Joe. You know what I had the privilege of doing my niece's wedding last Saturday? She wanted Uncle Joe to marry her. How cool is that? 30 years ago, she wouldn't want nothing to do with Uncle Joe. Honestly. Tina didn't want nothing to do with Joe. And that's my wife. But that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in the palace style. That means they should be molded as women of God. They should be strong as pillars. And that's what we need to do, is we need to teach our sons and teach our daughters. Why? Because you may only get a couple of hours a day to have them at home to teach them, and the school's going to get them for 6, 7, 8 hours. And they're going to pour this stuff into their hearts and minds. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands. And David knew that. David knew that God would provide all of these things. If we walk in obedience to Him, then our barns would be full. And the sheep would multiply. They would bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. That our oxen may be well laden, and that there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no outcry in our streets. You see what happens when people walk with God? When God is their rock? When they know that God is their loving kindness, their fortress, their heart, their high tower, their deliverer, their shield. When God is everything in our lives, it affects our nation. It affects our nation. Don't wait for the rest of America to change. You change. And let God take care of the rest. Why? Because happy are the people who are in such a state. Whether it's the state of California or the state of New York, or the United States. You know, when God rules, when God is our rock, we know why, right? We know why the whole country's a mess today. It's not our national debt that the problem is. It's our debt of sin. That's the problem. If we would take care of the sin debt, I guarantee you God would turn this whole mess around. And our barns would be full. People wouldn't be losing their homes, and the sheep and the oxen, all these things. Happy are the people who are in such a state. You see, when we're walking in obedience to God, we have happiness. We're content. We're thankful. We're filled with the love of Christ. Happy are the people who are in such a state. And I love the last part of verse 15. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Are we not the happiest people on the planet? I mean, look what's going on, and we're still happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Miserable are the people whose God is not the Lord. They are absolutely miserable. They've got everything that the world could offer, but they're absolutely empty. Empty. Emptiness. Why? Because deep down within every human soul, there's this void. And you can't fill it with all the money in the world. And you can't fill it with all the sex in the world. And you can't fill it with all the world has to offer. Emptiness. Just empty, empty, empty. We'll talk about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ecclesiastes next week. We're going to look at a guy that had everything. Solomon. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Empty. Empty. Can you imagine? I wonder how many headaches were going on at one time. Moving right along. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Can you imagine? I'm going to get in trouble if I don't move. Tina's giving me the evil eye back there. Move on. Psalm 145. This is the last Psalm of David in the Bible, by the way. A song of God's majesty and love. The other one was a Psalm of David. This is a praise of David. And isn't it wonderful? Yeah, we've seen some gloomy stuff in the announcements and we look around at what's going on. But you know what? We can praise the Lord tonight. It's amazing how the Word of God washes over our soul. No matter what we're going through. A praise of David. A song of God's majesty and love. I will extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Isn't that incredible? We are going to bless his name forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We'll never stop blessing his name. Every day I will bless you. And you know, we can start right now, can't we? Did you bless the Lord today? Did you bless him with your lips? Did you bless him with your life? Did you bless him with your love? We can kind of get a little tiny glimpse of what it means to be blessed with our kids, grandkids, with our spouse. When they say, I love you. Doesn't it just lift up your soul? It blesses us. God feels the same way. We just say, Lord, I love you. I want to bless you today. I'm not only going to bless you with my lips, Lord, but I'm going to bless you with my life today. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So you see one word that kind of flows through the whole first three verses there? Great. God is great. Greatly to be praised. Sometimes we just kind of throw that word around, you know, don't we? Boy, that was a great steak. That was a great ball game. Nothing's greater than God. It's almost one of those terms that should only be used for him. God, you're great. And because you're great, I enjoyed that steak. Because you're great, you've allowed me to enjoy these little things of life. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And you know, we can look around and see some pretty negative things and we can become negative along with the world. We shouldn't lose track or lose focus on the greatness of God. He's still great. Even the world looks like it's in a mess and turmoil and all this going on. God's still great. Do you know he's still great? No matter what's going on in our lives, God is still great. He always will be great. We'll be praising his name how long?
Forever.
And ever and ever and ever. Man, that is so cool. In this world, have you noticed that you can have a great name 1 minute? And the next minute, they'll be kicking your name in the mud. We've seen that with professional golfers. We've seen that with football players, baseball players. We've seen it with politicians. But God's name is great forever. God's name will never be tarnished. God's name is pure and holy and righteous and true. And God's name will be praised forever and ever and ever. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. Do you know it's up to us in our generation or whatever your generation is to pass the baton? Do you know it's up to you and I to praise the works of God to the next generation? You know, we should be training up our replacements to carry the baton in the body of Christ just in case the Lord doesn't sound the trumpet in our lifetime. And I think it's important that the next generation sees that what we have is real, that God is real, and that we should praise the works of God instead of complaining. Too many Christians complain as if they get the short end of the stick. We are to praise God's works to the next generation and declare his mighty acts. And again, we could have testimony after testimony in this room of the mighty things that God has done. He has delivered us with his right hand. He's pulled us up out of the miry clay. He loves us. He wants to spend eternity with us. Even though life here is a vapor, when we leave this place, when we vaporize one day, if you would. Haven't you seen that? You ever been to a person, when a person leaves their body? It's like this vapor that just leaves the body. It's incredible how their spirit goes to be with the Lord. And that's what's going to happen one day for us when our spirit leaves the body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. And again, every generation has been able to see some great and mighty things from God. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. Again, oftentimes people think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. As if the God of the Old Testament was this God of wrath and anger and wants to make crispy critters out of everybody. But that the New Testament is Jesus Christ in a Volkswagen bus with flowers painted all over. That's not what the Bible says, my friend. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of wrath. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is a God of judgment. But look, this is Old Testament doctrine here about the nature and character of God. Look what David writes. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Full overflowing of compassion. Look at the times. In the Old Testament even, when God had compassion upon His people. And then look at the times we read about the life of Jesus Christ when He met a leper, or he met the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and Scripture tells us that He had compassion upon them. And God still is extending His compassion to the United States of America and to the whole world today. God sent His Son. He came as Savior. The next time He comes, He will be as that judge. He will be a God of wrath. But we live in a time of grace right now. Great grace to all. God extends His compassion to everyone. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That's everybody and anybody. That's every type of lifestyle that would turn and turn to God. No matter what kind of drugs you're strung out on, alcohol, whatever it might be, pornography. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Turn to Him and He'll set you free. Why? Because the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Notice He's slow to anger. And great in mercy. That's His nature. That's His character. I'll tell you what, if you don't think He's slow to anger, look what's been going on around us for a long time now. And He's slow to anger. And He's great in mercy. You see, grace is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. And God is full of that. And He's full of compassion. As a matter of fact, His heart is broken over what He sees. The Lord is good to all. That's all inclusive, isn't it? Scripture tells us that God causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes the sun to shine on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. People say, how come bad things happen to good people? And I say, well, how come good things happen to bad people? Because God's good to all. He is good to all. I find no fault in Him. You see, if there's any fault to be found in the world, guess who caused it? Mankind. You see, Jesus controlled the winds and the waves, but He gave man a free will. Man is out of control because man has chosen to be out of control and rebellious against God. But the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Who are the saints? Those are the set apart ones. Those are the holy ones. Those are those that have given their lives to Jesus Christ, that are forgiven for all of their sins, that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are called saints. How do you like that? The set apart ones, the holy ones of God. You see, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, He's forgiven you for all of your sins, past, present, future. Washes us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Fills us with His Holy Spirit. And He imparts His righteousness to us, meaning that God imparts a right standing with Him through what Jesus Christ has done for us. He robes us in His righteousness. How cool is that? And yeah, we get dirty every once in a while. But He's made provision for that. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, get right back on track again. Godly sorrow, that means to see sin as God sees it, produces repentance unto salvation. And if it's godly sorrow, God will forgive us. We repent, Lord. We keep going. All your works shall praise you, verse 10, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Isn't it wonderful to gather together with God's people? I know you guys oftentimes go out for lunch after church, fellowship during the week, home fellowship, whatever it might be. And what are you all there for? Hey, let's talk about the Lord. It's cool. We have something in common, don't we? I mean, the world out there, after the news, weather, and sports, what else you got? But have you noticed since you've been saved that when you get together with Christians, I don't care if you're in Timbuktu, Calvary Chapel, Timbuktu, you meet people there and it's like you got this connection. This koinonia is what it's called in the Greek. It's this connection through the Holy Spirit. We're all in the same family now. You ever do that? You ever travel somewhere or meet some people you never met before? And it's like, man, it's like we're family. We're brothers, sisters. It's exciting. But you don't get that with the world, do you, out there? We talk about His goodness. To make known this, to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. How do you like that? We're going to praise Him forever and ever and ever. And guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in His kingdom forever and ever and ever. Why? Because His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Isn't it great that it's everlasting? It means it's not under the second law of thermodynamics. It's not rotting and rusting like everything in this world. Guys, we get to heaven, no plumbing, no electrical work, no roofs to repair. Hallelujah. No honeydews. Thank you, Jesus. It lasts forever. The things in this world don't last forever. They don't. Souls last forever. Kingdom of God lasts forever. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. You know what's really sad? Many people today are like Esau, selling their birthright for just a bowl of stew. Just one moment's pleasure. And there's people out there just for one moment's pleasure, they're selling their soul. You know what? Life's too short. Eternity's too long. To give up something that lasts forever. The love of Christ. The privilege of praising His name forever and ever and ever. To live in His kingdom forever and ever and ever. He's going to prepare a place for you that where He is that we may be also. We'll be checking in real soon. Real soon. Some of us may be sooner than others. Because He's preparing that place for you and for me. It's the absolute perfect place. And it's eternal. I love verse 14 too. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. He's the lifter of our heads. We stumble, we fall. He picks us up. And you know what? We should be doing the same thing. Good exercise for the heart is to bend over and pick someone up who's down. The world out there will kick them when they're down, but that shouldn't be the body of Christ. Every one of us, I believe, in this room, maybe someone has just been quickened to your spirit and your heart tonight. Maybe someone stumbled and fallen. What are we going to do about that? Going to call Pastor Joe? I don't mind. But you know what? If they're a friend, relative, loved one, close to your heart, guess who needs to go and pick them up and bless them, wipe them off? That's what Scripture tells us to do. You who are spiritual, go and restore a brother or sister that's fallen. Why? Because every day Jesus picks me up. Every day. Maybe I don't stumble and fall to the magnitude I used to, but I still stumble and fall every day. And I'm sure you can agree as well. But the Lord is the one that picks us up. All who fall. You notice that? All who fall. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. Speaking of the Lord, and you give them their due food in season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Funny story. I don't usually get off on rabbit trails for stories, but it has to do with this section of Scripture. My wife Tina's always loved canaries. Their family's always had canaries. They sing beautifully. So our daughter Kelly wanted a canary. I went and got her one, bought her one, brought it home. The male sing. Guy said, yep, here's the male. Took it home. Next thing you know, a couple days later, it's making a nest and sitting on two eggs. It was a female. So I went back, and the guy says, I'll keep it. I'll give you another one. So guess what? There's now four canaries. Like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, Tina, the eggs hatched. And these things have big eyes and big beak and all, you know, fuzzy-looking little things. But the neat thing about it, and it's exactly what Scripture is saying here, is that God gives them their food in due season. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every little thing. The mother would go and get some food, chew it up, and feed the little babies. That doesn't happen through a big bang, folks. Does not happen through a big bang. It comes through the maker of heaven and earth. That God is in control of every creature, even the little helpless tiny bird. And I'll tell you what, we're just as helpless, aren't we? We really are. In all reality, we need God to provide us and feed us. We need to eat from his hand. We need to look expectantly to God for every beat of our hearts, every breath that we take, everything that you and I have. We need to look expectantly to God just like those little birds. His eye is on the sparrow. He sees every sparrow that falls. And he's not going to let you go, and he's not going to let me go. He holds us up and we fall. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. And how many living things? Are all kinds. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. And again, emphasis on the word all in both statements. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He can't be otherwise. That means he's absolutely 100% right all the time, righteous in all his ways. And he's gracious in all his works. Another wonderful verse that, again, I learned early on as a believer, reading the Word of God and highlighting it and circling it with my pen and pointing arrows. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus said, I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And you know what? He says, anyone that will call upon my name, I will by no means turn anybody away. Anybody. And I think what we need to do is start looking at these lost people outside of these doors as candidates for the kingdom of heaven. Instead of putting them down, we need to start lifting them up. Because the Apostle Paul, before he went into Corinth, he said, there are yet many of God's people in this city. And I think you should say the same thing about your neighborhood. There are yet many of God's people in this neighborhood. There are yet many of God's people in Palm Desert, Thousand Palms, Coachella Valley, whatever. I just really believe that there are yet many of God's people in this valley, and it's up to you and I to love them to life and quit beating them to death. Jesus loved us, didn't he? He's near to all that call upon him, to all who will call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. Look at the promises we have. Man, but yet why do we worry? Why do we stress? Why do we flounder? Why are we failing our faith? Why are we foolish? Why are we forgetful? Look at the promises we have. He's near to all of us, which means that, you know what? Even when, because we're already saved, all we got to do is call upon him. Help. Sometimes it's a one-word prayer, isn't it? It isn't a long King James version. Thee and thou, and it's like, help. That's just my version, help. He will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. You see, God's the same yesterday, today, and always. He's the same God. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Now we go into what's called the Hallel Songs. Think we can do it? The praises. Every one of these Psalms begins and ends with praise the Lord. That's why they're called Hallel. Hallel is where we get the word hallelujah or praise the Lord. Hallel means praise. Lu-yah means the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Man. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Wow. Who we put our faith and trust in? God and him alone. Well, didn't we see him called the Son of Man last Sunday? Absolutely. But it was capital S. A messianic term. He is the Son of Man. He was God who became a man. He came into human flesh to die on a cross for us. Don't put your faith and trust in princes or politicians, is what he's saying there. There's no help there. Why? His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and the very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob, or Jacob, Israel, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to prisoners. Look at the wonderful attributes of the God that we serve, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And again, all through the Bible, we see that he made the heavens and the earth. How do people have a problem with that? How can they believe that we're a monkey's uncle? How can they believe that we evolved from some ooze? Or how can they believe that we came from some big bang? He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and keeps his truth forever. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. We saw that Sunday, didn't we? The Lord raises those who are bowed down. He always picks up the outcast, the downtrodden. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. Look at his concern. He watches over those that are estranged. He watches over the fatherless. Those that don't have a dad or a mom. We have a lot of children, even in our own country today, that don't have a mother and father. God watches over them. Widows or widowers, the husbandless or the wifeless one. God takes care of them. We even do that in this fellowship. God gave a person in this fellowship a heart to reach out to the single moms and to the widows. And we have a wonderful ministry through that because somebody had a burden to take care of the needs. And God gets the credit, right? God works through people to do these things. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Isn't the world upside down today? They call good evil and evil good. That's exactly what the Lord said they would do. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. 147, praise to God for his word and providence. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. That's why we devote a time of song and praise here, the first part of our service. We do the same thing with the guys on Saturday morning. We get together for men's prayer. We pull out the old hymnals and we do the best we can to sing psalms and hymns and praises to God. Why? Because it's good to sing praises to God. Don't you love it? Remember when you first got saved? How cool it was to learn the songs and sing all these cool songs to the Lord. What happened? Oh, there goes the thing again, huh? Was it that? Okay. That's why I don't get too animated, because the microphone freaks out on me. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And you know what? Only God can heal a broken heart. Nothing else can heal a broken heart. It's a spiritual thing. And only God can mend a broken heart and bind up our wounds. And look around. There's a lot of people that are wounded, aren't they? And God binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them by name. I mean, he knows the exact number of the stars. And I don't think we even have a number for that. And not only does he have a number for it, but he's got a name for every star. And again, oftentimes I refer to, I believe it's Psalm 139, where the Lord's precious thoughts towards us are numbered as grains of sand in the world. How figure that one out. I mean, every sand trap on every golf course, every beach, every bowl of clam chowder, there's always some grain of sand in a bowl of clam chowder. Another precious thought. God knows every grain of sand. He knows every star. He knows every number, every name of every star. That's who God is. But sometimes we put him in a box, don't we? Sometimes we get this little God. No, he's like huge. We can't even comprehend the awesomeness of our God. Man. But we try to. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. Scripture also tells us he resists the proud. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He provides, doesn't he? Water to drink from the clouds. He's got his own irrigation system. Takes salt water out of the ocean, brings it up in a cloud, filters it, and drops pure water over the land. Figure that one out. That's God's irrigation system. And he grows the grass. He feeds the cows. He takes care of everything. Don't you think we should give thanks to him? Gives the beast its food. The beast, of course, refers to his cattle. That's a clean animal. And even the ravens, which was considered an unclean animal. God takes care of the clean and the unclean. Amazing. That's the goodness of God. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. Meaning that we don't put our faith and trust. Horses in those days were like tanks and armored personnel carriers and stuff today. It's like military, the horses were. And it says there, he takes no pleasure in those things. He really doesn't. He's not impressed by the strength of our armies because he can take one angel and whip 185,000 soldiers. He's done that in the Old Testament, hasn't he? We need to have our strength and our trust in him. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man, meaning the strength of man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. That blesses God's heart. Why? Because Scripture tells us that God created you and I for his good pleasure. He takes pleasure in us. But again, if we're always turning and running away from him, and we're not turning to him with our arms open, we're missing out on pleasure, and so is he. He desires to have that wonderful fellowship. He takes pleasure in those who love him and fear him. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. I love this last section because it speaks of him. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He's our protection, right? You can live in a gated community. You can have all the alarms and bells and whistles and all that stuff. And if God isn't watching over you, they're going to get in. He strengthens the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. Aren't our borders a mess with all sorts of stuff? You know, why? Because God's not part of our nation anymore. No wonder our borders are a mess. He makes peace in our borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. It comes down like a blanket. Believe me, we've lived in places of woo. He scatters the frost like ashes. Notice God controls everything. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares his word to Jacob or Israel, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. And you can see how the psalmist knows all of these things about God. God gets no credit today. When's the last time you heard the Weather Channel talk about God bringing the hail, or God bringing the rain, or God bringing the wind? God's in control of it all, not the Weather Channel. Not what's in Jim Cantore, you know. 148. Praise the Lord. Now this one here is just really praising God. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Right now, not only are we praising the Lord in our hearts and in worship and music, but the angels in heaven are constantly worshiping the Lord in heaven. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all the angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars and light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. There, it talks about creation again, doesn't it? He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. You ever stop and wonder how God controls all these things at the same time? And just this little dinky planet, and there's other things He's taking care of, constellations and stars. And then even us, knows the number of hairs on our head, has our tears in the bottle, has our prayers in bowls in heaven. I mean, wow, you want to boggle your mind. But God's in control of all of this, mountains and the hills and fruitful trees and all the cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth. And yes, God is in control of the governments. And oftentimes God will give the people what they ask for. And oftentimes God will allow people to rule, to chasten them. Scripture tells us when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people are groaning. So we're all groaning in America today. That's got to tell us something. Right under our noses in the Word of God. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. And that's what I love about this fellowship. We got young and old, we got kids, you know, it's awesome, man. It's not just old people and youth group, you know. Too many churches are like, we young and old. Isn't it amazing how in the body of Christ there's no age barrier? You talk to people older than you or younger than you, whatever, and it's like you don't even think about how old or how young they are. It's incredible. Again, it's that koinonia. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us together. It's Jesus Christ. There's no ethnic groups, no race, creeds, colors, and all of this stuff that the world continually tries to cause all sorts of friction with. We're united as the body of Christ. We're His bride. Young and old, men, women, children, senior saints, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. And that's true in this fellowship. His name and His name alone is exalted, and it always will be exalted. And His glory is above the heavens and the earth. And He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise to God for His salvation and judgment. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Again, I'm sure that this has got to be David. Had more new songs to sing. And His praise in the assembly of the saints. I know there's churches out there today say you shouldn't play instruments. And in a congregation, you shouldn't sing songs. And I don't know where they ever got all that stuff. Because oftentimes we see everything from lifting of hands to strings to the lute and the lyre and the trumpets and all of this stuff. Praise God. New songs, the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. And you know what? How sad it is that these folks upstairs don't have the joy of the Lord because they don't have their King. And we attend their service. I love these people dearly. And we go to the Passover at times. We've been to Yom Kippur. There's no joy. They need to come down here and see what joy is, you know. From us crazy Gentiles down here. That's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. He makes us happy. He gives us joy and excitement. We rejoice in our Maker. Let them praise His name with the dance. Haven't done that yet, but let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. There's those instruments again. For the people take pleasure in His people. Someone asked J. Vernon McGee, Pastor McGee, is it okay? Can Christians dance? That's what they say. Can Christians dance? He said, some can and some can't even keep a beat. So, I got it right that time. I tried that a couple weeks ago and didn't work. So, for the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. And one day, God's going to settle the balances. Praise the Lord. Well, guess what? I'm only 4 minutes over, and we got 6 verses to go. Let all things praise the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Praise God in whose sanctuary? His sanctuary. This is His place. Wouldn't have it any other way. Gather together and praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament in the heavens. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. What a wonderful psalm. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand one more time. Get the worship group up here. Let's praise the Lord together. We've got a lot to be thankful for. I'll tell you what, it sure lifted up my heart in these Psalms. I needed this tonight. Because all that we see going on, all we see on TV, all we read in the newspaper and all can kind of get you down. But we've seen praise the Lord enough tonight to get us to praise the Lord. So let's all stand. If you want to dance, go ahead. Just